Welcome to Two Travel Dads Podcast. Here we share our favorite destinations, travel tips, stories from our adventures, and bring on awesome guests to share insights into their travelsome lives. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out our detailed show notes at twotraveldads.com/podcast-episodes. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Two Travel Dads Podcast. I'm Rob, your most loyal host. I say most because we have lots of hosts and hostesses, and we've got somebody back who's been on here many times, my bestie, Kelly.
Hey!
Who resides in Maine. So today, we're going to kind of just chat about Maine. I love visiting Maine. It's really fun to go up there and see them and see lobster things and all that. So, I think we should just kind of dig into Midcoast Maine, because that, when I think of Maine, that's what I think of.
Yeah, definitely.
It's that extremely lighthousey, lobster trappy, windy roads that'll make you sick if you're looking at your phone when somebody else is driving sort of place. You know what I mean.
I do. Also, I just would like to add, not those roads are not great for bike riding or walking around.
Oh.
So don't come to Maine to ride your bike along the road, because there is no sidewalks.
Yeah. In fact, that's actually a good question. So why do people come to Maine? Because clearly, as you said, they don't come to Maine for biking. What is the Maine, the M-A-I-N draw to M-A-I-N-E?
Well, there's many draws, especially in the summer months. Many people who live on the East Coast, specifically New York, Washington, D.C., will often have a summer place up in Maine. They call them camps. Sometimes they don't have heat, so they're a place to come in the summer for a month or so. There's beautiful kayaking, tons of little islands around to get out to with boats and ferries. There's ferry boat rides also. I think probably the main draw is just the quintessential old buildings and the way Maine's slogan is "the way life should be."
Which is funny, because Oliver says that Maine's slogan is "Maine closed on Tuesdays."
And that is true as well. As well as from about, I'd say, November through Memorial Day. There is not much going on. All you have to do in Maine to be successful is stay open. So.
Do you feel like the mindset of full-time residents in Maine is just, let's just have a business that the tourists can support, and then we'll take a long nap for a few months? Or
I think a lot of people come down here, actually. I think that's maybe a goal I'm striving for as well.
I mean, it's true. We do get a big influx from Maine and New York State. That's very true, actually.
Massachusetts,
yeah. And Michigan.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Which I don't blame them. If I lived in Michigan, I would come down here in the winter as well.
Yeah.
So, with that, quintessential Maine. To me, that is all those sort of nautical sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one town in particular in Midcoast? So, actually, before we dig into that, Maine, when we're talking about coastal Maine, that goes from like the New Hampshire border up to the border of Quebec, so U.S.-Canada border. How many sections do Mainers kind of consider that? Is there like South Coast, Mid Coast, North Coast, Down East? Like, what's the scoop?
I think what you mostly hear people refer to is Mid Coast and Down East. So when you hear the funny saying, "You can't get there from here," oh God, don't put that out there. I can't pretend that I can do a Maine accent.
Oh, that's so funny.
You can't get there from here, because you can actually, in a boat, you can go directly from Midcoast, say Rockland, where we spend a lot of time or live close to, directly over to Bar Harbor in a boat in maybe an hour. And to drive,
oh my gosh,
to
it's
it,
like 2.5 hours.
Maybe even less than that. And in a boat, or I'm sorry, in a car, it's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So that's what that means. You have to go up and then down and around to get to Bar Harbor.
So there's kind of like four sections to the coast then. So there's like the south, where you've got like Saco, Ogunquit, things like that.
Right.
And up to, would you say that goes how far? Like to Portland or to Freeport? Like
probably Portland, and then it starts to get more mid-coasty as you go north of that.
So you got like Freeport, and then the town that starts with an S.
Saco?
No. Saco. What's it called? Actually, never mind. It doesn't start with an S. It starts with a D. Damariscotta.
Damariscotta.
Yes.
So, I do like Damariscotta.
Your favorite place or Jeff's favorite place. Let's guess it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Red's Eats is the problem there. Mm. So if you ever go to Red's Eats because you've been told to go and you're just standing there innocently in line and someone goes by and gives you the finger, it's because that location has caused a lot of traffic. And it's pretty unnecessary to just have a business cause traffic. So I think it could be remedied easily.
So
the locals feel thus, and they give you the certain finger when you're standing there in line innocently to buy your $35.
So most of most of Maine, like mid-coast Maine, there's not an interstate going around from little town to little town. So it's all, you know, Highway 1 and then other little like spur roads and stuff like that. So the way that it goes as you're going through these little towns, you literally drive through the downtown of like everywhere. And then when you get to Wiscasset, Red's Eats that she's talking about is a lobster roll, lobster booth, lobster stand on the corner right before you cross the river. And people line up for, is it mediocre or is it not good or is it great if you've never had it?
Honestly.
Have you actually had one?
No.
Oh.
I think my husband would divorce me if I stood in that line. But really, the local people in Midcoast are, many of them are from lobstering families. And you'll hear them refer to lobsters as bugs because they are underwater bugs. And it's, generations that have harvested them off of the bottom of the ocean and... They don't even eat them that often, from what I understand. But they are delicious, so I'll take
we have
one
them
of those
whenever we come
bugs
up.
Anytime.
So. okay, so we're kind of working our way up the coast. So you got South Coast, you got Mid Coast that goes from about Portland or Freeport up to
Camden?
Camden, and then it starts to turn to that down east as you like go through like Belfast and over to Bar Harbor.
I think for
is it
for
just kind
map
of a sketchy
talk,
map
we get
area
Jeff on here.
Yeah. And then there's that north section that is, you know, it starts to go up towards Newfoundland and Quebec, and you've got rivers, you've got Lubeck. So, but let's talk all about Midcoast. So, what is your favorite place in all of Midcoast Maine to spend the day?
I love to get on the kayak and head out to some of the little remote islands where there are no people. And so we do that.
I like to be in Maine when there's nobody.
No, even when there is a lot of people, there's so many little beautiful beaches you can just kind of kayak to and around. And there's a lot of kind of safe feeling sea kayaking because of the little islands that are off the coast there. So definitely my kayak is the favorite place that I like to be in the summer months. Which...
I really do enjoy going kayaking out of your cove.
Yes.
Because you've got, what do we see? We see three lighthouses or two lighthouses?
You can see, I think, three. You
can paddle around the Whitehead Island Lighthouse, which was super duper cool.
Yeah, last year when you were there, remember there had just been a big sighting of a huge shark right there?
You were
so courageous.
You were a little paranoid about that.
I don't want to be shark snacks.
No, and we did see sharks. We saw seals.
We saw seals.
Lots
and
of seals.
Did we get to see a sunfish?
No.
We went on a sunfish.
Maybe this summer we'll see a sunfish.
Yeah, let's make that happen. I'd love to get on a lobster boat with you and go out and see if we
I'm
can
always down.
Get some lobster.
So your favorite thing is being on the kayak, which I totally get. I appreciate and I enjoy as well, especially because it's not scary kayaking. Which sometimes sea kayaking can be scary. Like if you go on Puget Sound or in the San Juan Islands in Washington, some of those currents are terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, you still want to know what you're doing and wear a life jacket. Yeah. But if you stay close to the shore and go around the little islands that are right there in the mid-coast, Rockland, Camden even, and then also you can get on a sailboat, which I haven't done yet, but I'd love to get on a big sailboat, and you can go for like just the afternoon or even a four-day
big
trip.
Sailboat, like a schooner?
Like a schooner, yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, the building I work in, actually, Sharp's Point Wharf. Mr. Sharp, who's always there, he's about 91, I think, and he's still very active in his building. He was touted as being the one that brought schooners to Midcoast, Maine. So,
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, that sounds fun. And I know that in the summertime, there is the big boat in Camden that in the winter goes down to Key West. What is it? The Sunny Apple or the Apple Boy, Apple Bunny, Apple... I'll find it and I'll put it in the show
Thank
notes.
Thank you. Yes, I'll need to research.
But yeah, so in the summer, it's up in Maine and Camden. And then in the winter, it comes down to Key West.
Well, maybe I can work on that.
Ooh,
that'd be easy commute.
That's how you can work it.
I like it.
So my favorite thing to do when we come and visit you guys in the summer, I love getting out on boats too, but I'm such a sucker for tours. And I really, my favorite one, I think, it's tough because we saw so many whales last summer when we went out of Booth Bay Harbor.
Oh, I love Booth Bay.
That was amazing. We saw fin whales and we saw gray whales and a humpback and we saw porpoises.
That was really
And
great.
Then we saw puffins. And it was awesome. But I think that the tour that I enjoyed more was the one we did with Monhegan Boat Lines out of...
Port Clyde.
Port Clyde, that's what it was.
Which I would like to mention, people should probably know to take off of their itinerary this year because there was an awful fire last...
Wait, so is
I think it was the end of last summer.
Is the little dock at the marina closed? I know that the general store all burned down and stuff.
The boat line actually is still going, but
okay.
There's no longer a store, and the dip net's gone. It's just a really tiny little town already, and now there's not much to do there. So.
But then also, since it is so tiny and since people aren't going there for Linda Bean's little store and stuff, maybe it's a good way to support that local business.
Yeah, definitely. You'd want to... just make it, book it, and get there.
So it's not necessarily a hangout town anymore.
Yeah, no.
Not for now.
It will be reborn eventually. Yeah. I don't think it's slated until probably summer ahead of us, of this one.
But what I really liked about that boat and where, you know, you go out of that perfect little Maine-looking town, which, you know, has changed, like you said.
Yeah.
But that's where we got to do the thing where we actually got to pulled in the lobster traps.
Yeah.
And they actually, had lobster, they caught them, and we all got to see them and see how they do everything and check all that. And I thought that was super cool and culturally significant. And then we got to dink around through the whole Wyeth compound on those islands out there.
Yep.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. The Wyeths are still involved in the community. I think that's a part I really love is that a lot of the family names that you see on, you know, street signs and town names, their families are still there.
Yeah.
I think that's a part that's really charming about it too, is it's just really has not changed much for many years. And so it's been a part of people's summers. If you live on the East Coast, people will come up to Maine to get away from it all. And that's definitely what you do because there's really, mostly nature things to do. There's the town of Rockland and the town of Camden. But as far as entertainment and stuff like that, I would definitely come for Jazz Fest or Blues Fest if you want
have
a little
some
more.
Year-round entertainment.
I do.
Yeah. You've got that candlepin bowling, don't you?
Oh, right. Yes,
that's
is
a
kind of special
super
place.
Super main thing.
That hasn't changed for years either.
What is it? Tell us about it.
Oh, if you want a can of Schlitz and to throw a small ball at 9 or 10 pins. However, I got to strike my very first time.
Oh, hey.
Dean and Dean came. It was a blast. Dean wanted to go. So
yeah.
We had some Schlitz and played some candlepin, and it was pretty fun. Yeah, there's some funky little things around, but mostly it's beautiful. Plan to just spend some time on one of the beaches. There are some beautiful beaches. Really beautiful granite formations, lots of lovely hiking, and just relaxing is the best thing to do in Maine. So I'm all for that.
I like going and seeing all the lighthouses.
Yes, we do. We cover quite a few lighthouses.
Because there are a lot of lighthouses.
There are, because of the jagged coastline.
It's
and everything
so weird.
Is a peninsula, which took me a long time to get used to because... you can go so many different directions to get to the same places in a peninsula. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. So I was working on an article about all the different river lighthouses in Maine because they're all these rivers that are just these tidal rivers and they all have lighthouses. So instead of thinking like, oh, it's a lighthouse off the coast with giant waves crashing into it, how iconic. There are these dinky little lighthouses on rivers.
Yeah, they had a lot of forts to protect the mm-hmm. coastline. Mm-hmm. So they definitely had lighthouses to direct the schooners.
Ooh, what was that? We went to that really cool river lighthouse last winter. It was the Squirrel Point Lighthouse. And there were all the ice floes going past it. That was neat.
I was thinking about that, too. That was really cool.
So if you're planning on going to Maine but not in summer, go when it is icy, which sounds ridiculous. But we had so much fun in the winter in Maine. Oh, what?
We didn't get to take you ice skating on a frozen lake, though, which is on the bucket list. You
which
have to do it.
Which sounds really not safe for me.
People don't get on there until it's 2 feet of ice, at least. 2 or 3 feet frozen. And then they bring cars on and everything. It's crazy. Yeah.
Okay.
I did it once and it was great. It was very exciting.
Well, so I was talking to the lady from Minnesota last week, and we were talking about planning ice fishing, and she also was convinced that it's safe.
I think there's Schlitz involved in that too.
Oh yeah, so there we go. But no, so going back to where I was heading with that, and the lighthouses, there's lots of cool lighthouses in mid-coast Maine. There's lighthouses from, you know, from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, all the way up to Quebec. So you've got, 67, 75.
Oh, good for you.
It's something insane. It's in the 60s or 70s for the number of lighthouses in Maine. And most of them have been, like, privately transferred. So they're not all Coast Guard lighthouses anymore. But you can visit a bunch of them. And I really enjoyed. What was the one that we went to that was so... Oh, I should have done my research. Pemaquid.
Oh, yes.
Pemaquid Point Lighthouse. That was beautiful. And that was really close to Booth Bay also.
Yeah, Booth Bay is lovely. And that is where my favorite place is. Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens. I haven't been yet, so I'll have to get there in the next couple
this
weeks.
Year.
Because springtime is springing mm-hmm. there. And it's in Booth Bay. And it's beautiful. And what's the name of the... artist that does the
Thomas Dombo's
really cool big trolls, and you can do a lovely walk through the woods, or it's very accessible mm-hmm. for people in wheelchairs.
And they've got a tram that goes around and picks you up if you don't want to walk everywhere, because it's definitely the biggest botanical garden I've been to. I think it's definitely bigger than Bouchard Gardens and covers more space.
Yeah, it's a plan for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah,
nice place to have lunch. They just redid their little deli there.
Oh, is it all fancy now?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. A little fancier.
Nice little garden party lunch. yeah, I forgot. That is just like one of the coolest places there.
Lots of whale tours too from there.
Yes.
That's where we got the...
Yes.
We saw so many whales.
That was wild. With lots of waterfront dining. I think that's actually... That's kind of like the... I think maybe the best way to really get the vibe or... enjoy yourself the most in mid-coast Maine is all of the waterfront dining in every single little town.
Yeah, definitely. Rockland has some great places. Camden has some great places. Mm-hmm. And Camden definitely has that very kind of, you know, gold-leafed.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was looking at some hotels in Camden that are like $500 or $600 a night.
Oh, and there's a brand new one in Rockport as well that's very fancy and nice.
What is the new hotel called?
It's the Rockport Harbor Hotel.
Oh, and Rockport's really cute. That's where there are those, what are they, lime kilns or something on the waterfront?
Yes, there are lime kilns on the waterfront.
And in the summertime, people jump off the dock into that cute little bay. Rockport is super cute, but it's so small.
It's very tiny, yeah.
But that's one of the things that is so neat about dinking around and exploring all over Midcoast is all of these cute little old towns that are, you know, exactly what you expect to see. What other cool towns are there that we've stopped into? I love Camden. Camden is super cool.
Belfast is pretty.
Belfast not like cool. Ireland, but Belfast, Maine.
Yeah, there's nice places to dine and mm-hmm. walk around.
And you have to go through Belfast if you want to head to Acadia National Park, which you can listen to our podcast episode all about Acadia National Park with our friend Colleen, who was artist in residence there. We had a great episode about that. Yeah.
She's got her book coming out.
Her book is coming out next month, mm-hmm. which is exciting.
I just saw that.
So thinking more also about like if you were going to tell somebody, hey, come visit this summer, here is where you should stay when you come to Midcoast to be able to like see the most. where would you place them? Would you have them start down at the bottom and stay down at the bottom? Would you have them stay at the top of Midcoast? Pick someplace in the middle? I know we always stay in the middle because you guys are in the middle.
Yeah, we always like to have people come into Portland because Portland, Maine is a really great little town. We feel really lucky to have that as our main close big town. It's about an hour and a half from the Midcoast, so still has the quaint feel to it, but all the really nice restaurants and shops and that kind of thing. And then coming up to Midcoast via Freeport, where there's again more great shopping and
the LL Bean boot and store,
which is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and lots of shops there. And just, you know, since everything's off a highway, it's kind of nice to wind around and check everything out. And then you go through Wiscasset and check all that out, and it's a beautiful, cute little town as well. And then if you want to scoop down into Booth Bay from there, you can do that on as you're passing the turn off for Booth Bay.
And Damariscotta is really pretty and cute, and it's got that nice river right there with lots of, there was what, like three different kayak rental vendors that I saw just right there.
And if you're curious about where oysters come from, there's lots of oyster farming right there at the mouth of the river there.
Oh, isn't there oyster farming in your town too?
Yes.
Like,
I'd like to learn how we can do that from our house.
Yeah, because right there where the Weaskig River goes under the bridge, and it looks like a raging river, even though it's just like a little tidal channel.
Yeah.
I always see those oyster beds, like the man-made ones out there.
And there's a super great fresh deal that you can get. There's just people that farm them right there, and they'll always just have a refrigerator that you can just drive into the driveway and grab a bag of fresh oysters and put some money in the box, and there you go. There's your
dinner.
That
is so not my thing. but other people love them, so.
They do.
It's interesting. Just like, as I'm kind of thinking about like the winding roads and lighthouses and now oysters, it's so much like the San Juan Islands in Washington.
Kind of is.
Like,
yeah.
It even feels like it when you're driving around. Like, there's areas that really do feel like Orcas Island and Lopez, where it's just not a lot of people. Lopez Island, you know, they're not really wanting there to be a lot of people, and they'll let you know.
Yep, friendly and low-key, and then there's tourist season, and that's where it totally changes. It quadruples in size from winter to summer, so that's makes a big, you know, it's
that
very,
is insane.
Yeah, it has a strong effect on those of us who live and work and commute and stuff there, but also for our incomes,
because,
you know, as a massage therapist, I do very little marketing, and in the summer I have a lot more clients.
Really?
So, yeah, I make a lot of more money in the summer, which is why I think it makes sense to some businesses to just be open half of the year.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting part of the culture there that's been different to get used to.
That is interesting. I mean, we live in a beach town, which you come here on spring break and it's insane. Mm-hmm. And then right now it's so quiet.
Yeah.
And then in 2 weeks when school gets out all around Florida, it's insane again until beginning of August, and it's quiet again.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, I mean, like even the Dairy Queen closes, like everything closes for half the year. So
that is so strange.
It is. It's a little different.
So when should we not visit you?
You are always welcome 24/7, 365. However,
so we've been up in July, August, and February.
Yeah. And we had a good time in February.
It was strangely fun.
We had a lovely time in February. Yeah. But I would say Maine really shines the brightest from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And if you want to go on a little bit on either end of that is when you'll get less people, which is nice in towns that aren't used to, you know, that much capacity. So, yeah.
Do you feel like Maine has to wake up for tourist season? Like, if you do get there at the beginning, are you going to be SOL for dinner?
No. People are raring to go right now. What is it, May 20th or something?
I don't know what 18th? Day it is. Sometime in May.
So it's starting to wake up now. I think the Dairy Queen's open. Oh. So, yeah.
So there's your gauge about how your trip is going to be. If as you're driving in and you cross the river and you see the Dairy Queen, if it's open, then everything else is fine.
Everything else is probably at least close behind.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah. No, Maine is lovely. It's very quaint. It's very quiet. There is, though, I'd really like to go to the blues and jazz festivals this summer.
Where is that in Rockland?
A little wild and crazy, which I like that occasionally.
Is that directly in Rockland?
Yes, right in Rockland.
Is it where the Lobster Fest happens?
It is. Yes.
We didn't even talk about Lobster Fest. Festival. That was so much fun last year.
It is kind of fun. And my son will be volunteering this year, so you can go say hi to Henry.
Is he
going to
be doing the lobster cooking?
I think so. Yep. Him and Lars and Trudy will be
slinging
lobster. Yeah, I think it's a fun, unique thing. And he might even go out with a friend on their lobster boat to help. He has, there's a pretty cool program where if you are grown up in a lobster family as a young person, I think they start at 11, you can start actually working towards your own lobstering license, which has to be through family and that kind of thing. So a couple of his friends are getting their own boats and learning to be lobster people.
So we only have, you know, another 2 minutes or so, but thinking about Lobster Fest, what is the most unusual thing that happens at Lobster Fest? Isn't there like a, I feel like there's a lobster.
The crate race.
The crate race. Yes. That's what it is.
And kids train for it and they're really
good at
it.
What is the lobster crate race?
So
do
they
tell.
Are, I think there are about 70 or 75 lobster traps floating in the water. I'm not sure exactly how they float. I think they might have a buoy here and there.
Yeah.
But you have to go fast enough that you don't sink or fall off. So there's a practice of, the kids figuring out how to go just the right speed so that they can get across them and get from end to end. And
interesting. It's like a lumberjack festival,
kind of.
Lobsters.
There is lumberjack Annie's, right? On the way to Bar Harbor, too.
There is.
There's some lobster.
And they actually do lumberjack shows and stuff.
There you go.
There
That's
you
what
it.
We're doing when you come. There
okay.
we go. Now we have it planned.
Excellent. Well, we're going to talk more about Maine in another episode because we didn't get into Acadia. We didn't get into the Highlands, which was so much fun up in Carrabassett and Sunday River. We had so much fun.
We did not find a moose. And if you,
But
really
we'll talk about
there,
that another episode.
Okay. Moose are, actually there was one in our neighborhood though. So they are even in Midcoast. They're just not as easy to find. So
if we give them space within another couple of years, we'll start seeing them more places.
Yeah, perhaps. I hope.
Good times.
They're pretty cool.
Well, thank you for joining me.
Right.
And
thanks for having me.
Everybody out there, stay tuned for more of Maine because we could talk about Maine all day. And then if you're not subscribed already, go ahead and hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, YouTube, all those places. That's where you'll find us. And then don't forget to give us a rating, too. And if you didn't enjoy it, just, you know, keep your words to yourself. If you thought we were fun to listen to, please do share with your friends and family and check back in for another episode down the road. Have a great rest of your day. Two Travel Dads podcast is created by Rob and Chris Taylor in St. Augustine, Florida. We'd love to answer your questions here on the podcast, providing both our experience and stories to share our own insights into whatever you're wondering about. Visit twotraveldads.com/podcast-episodes to leave your questions and to check out past episodes and show notes. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and have an awesome day.